We've got a special episode for you today. It's the one-year anniversary of the season, the series finale of Star Wars Rebels. And all throughout social media, the hashtag Rebels Remembered is trending. People are celebrating what we believe is the best Star Wars animated series ever created. And we're going to take you on a little journey of our favorite moments from the entire series this week on Star Wars Rebels Revisited.
This is Master Obi-Wan Kenobi. I regret to report that both our Jedi Order and the Republic have fallen, with the dark shadow of the Empire rising to take their place. This message is a warning and a reminder for any surviving Jedi. Trust in the Force. Do not return to the Temple. That time has passed, and our future is uncertain. We will each be challenged. Our trust, our faith, our friendships. But we must persevere, and in time, a new hope will emerge. May the Force be with you, always.
Well, again, welcome to a special episode of Star Wars Rebels Revisited as we celebrate the series finale of the greatest Star Wars animated series ever made.
It's true.
And we talk about our favorite moments, our favorite characters, our favorite arcs, and just celebrate this thing that brought Samuel L. Hutt and BB Nate kind of into the Star Wars fandom. So why don't we start with that story before we kind of get into our favorites. For those of you that are watching this, maybe for the first time because you're following the hashtag Rebels Remembered and celebrating this series, maybe this is the first time you've ever heard about Tatooine Sons and our podcast and, of course, our YouTube show where we look at Star Wars Rebels. So why don't we tell a little bit about the story of how you guys came into Star Wars fandom. I'm going to let you go for it, Samuel L. Hutt. Tell the viewers how you came to love Star Wars through this series.
Well, I'm trying to remember it. You tell it better than me, but you know, I need to.
Of course, I tell everything better than you.
I think you remember certain.
He's zoned out looking at the Millennium Falcon on the other wall over there.
You remember certain details that I don't remember. But okay. For the most part, we heard about the series. We heard about this new series called Star Wars Rebels that was getting really good reviews, right? We were sort of into Star Wars at the time, what with the Force Awakens and Rogue One.
This is before Rogue One. This is Star Wars The Force Awakens. All we'd seen for you guys is the trailers for Force Awakens.
Okay.
And that's when we got into Star Wars.
Okay. So yeah, we've been hearing a lot of good things about this new series, so we decided we'd check it out. We had nothing better to do. So at the time, Dad, you were living in...
No, this is before. I guess I'm going to have to tell the story.
Yeah.
You're right. You get the details all messed up.
I know.
All right. So Star Wars was starting to ramp back up again. Okay, Force Awakens trailers had come out. We'd seen the one in the, like, right around Thanksgiving of 2014,
mm-hmm.
That was introducing that, you know, the famous shot where Finn pops up in the desert without his helmet on, and we see an African-American stormtrooper, which everybody was freaking out about at the time, and the creamsicle Rey on her speeder, and some of that stuff, and of course, the crazy lightsaber, and everybody was freaking out about all that stuff. Kylo Ren's lightsaber. So, and then you guys had gone during Star Wars Celebration. And you guys were down in Alabama, which you're actually leaving tomorrow to go back down to Alabama again to visit your grandparents.
By the time you're seeing this, they'll probably.
Oh yeah, you'll be in Alabama by the time this airs on YouTube. But the idea was, you guys were down there. We saw the Chewie Your Home trailer, and you guys were getting excited about Star Wars. We had tried to get. I had tried. I had grown up on Star Wars. I had been a big fan, but they had not really gotten into it yet. I tried to get him into it with some of the stuff. My phone's doing weird things. And I'll put it down here. All right. And I was trying to get you to watch the movies, and you guys weren't really into them. But you got into the trailers for The Force Awakens.
Oh, yeah.
And we had tried to watch a couple episodes of Rebels, and it just didn't connect. But now we were, like, getting more excited about it. Mm-hmm. So we started watching Star Wars Rebels, really diving into it, and you guys started to get more excited about Star Wars in general, and that's what sort of launched us into you know, getting excited about the movies
right.
with The Force Awakens and all of that. So, interestingly enough, we get to the end of season one, we get into season two, and all of a sudden Darth Maul shows up in season two of Rebels,
yeah.
and we're like,
where did that come from?
Where's this dude? Well, he's dead. And so we found out that The Clone Wars, which you guys had tried to watch that, and actually
yeah.
had gotten into that a little bit, but
when we
had gotten behind and we couldn't catch up with it. You guys had sort of given up on it. We went back and got Netflix and started watching all of them like as fast as we could to try to get through all the Darth Maul stuff to find out what the heck was going on with Maul, how
he was
alive.
Yeah.
So we watched that. So that's kind of how you guys got into Star Wars, and then of course, you know, Star Wars Celebration and all that. But Nathan, why don't you be Nate? Why don't you tell the viewers about kind of what happened when we did move, when I moved to California in January 2017, and you guys were still here in Colorado. That was during season three of Star Wars Rebels. Tell the viewers sort of what the situation was with that.
So basically, every week, I think it was on a Thursday.
It was Saturdays that they came out.
Okay.
Yeah.
Every Saturday, we would. Watch it at the same time together as it aired, and
so I would be in California, you guys would be here in Colorado,
right? And then afterwards, we would call each other and talk and see what we thought about it. And so that's kind of what got us into fandom, even though we're across the country, we can still.
And it maybe in some ways, maybe that's the start of our Star Wars podcasting conversations.
Yeah,
because
I remember
that's how we started talking about Star Wars.
I remember
Star Wars Rebels was it
one night. You and I were talking, and you were like, yeah, I think we should do a podcast or something, or a YouTube channel or whatever, a YouTube show. And I remember at the time, I'm like, okay, yeah, I like it. And so we threw around, you were like, you need to figure out a name for the podcast. So I remember I grabbed a notepad, Nate and I sat in the living room, and we brainstormed ideas. And then we came up with Twin Sons, which we liked the idea.
But the problem was that was an episode. That was like one of our favorite.
Well,
at the time,
that hadn't come out yet.
Oh, okay.
But with Twin Sons, S-O-N-S, but Nate and I were twins, so we didn't think it worked. So then I came up with Tatooine Sons.
And one of the favorite names that I came up with was Vader and Sons, but Sam didn't like that.
Yeah, because Vader doesn't
I
have
like
two
Tatooine
sons.
I like Tatooine Sons.
Because
so
Vader doesn't have
let's
two
keep
sons.
It light side in this
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. So. So I gave you the idea, and obviously it stuck, so.
So here we are. So we tried to do a YouTube channel for a while, didn't work.
Did not work.
Did a podcast. That's taken off. We've had some pretty good success with the podcasting. We love doing that.
Yeah.
That's our weekly show that comes out on Monday mornings on podcast services. And then a few months ago, we decided that we were going to go back and try to do a YouTube show about our favorite show, which is Star Wars Rebels.
Okay.
And so then, because... You know, people that listen to our podcast, people that follow us on social media, they know that we're huge Rebels fans, that we're massive Rebels fans. So then this idea came out about Rebels Remembered as a hashtag on March 5th and celebrating Star Wars Rebels. They reached out to us and said, you guys have got to be a part of this. And since we're recording an episode of our Star Wars Rebels Revisited show, we figured let's just dedicate a whole episode to nothing but our favorite moments from this, and then we'll get back into the regular episodes after that.
Yeah.
So are you guys ready to jump on in and start talking about some favorites?
Ready.
All right, let's do it.
Kanan! I know what to say now. I love you.
Must be the truth serum talking.
No. It's me. All me. I gave you a direct order.
Ah!
All right, so I guess the easiest way for us to jump into this conversation about Star Wars Rebels is to talk about who our favorite characters are. So I'm going to throw it to you first, BB Nate.
Okay.
Who's your favorite character in Star Wars Rebels? And more importantly, why? Tell the viewers.
Well, my favorite character is Chopper.
Chopper? I'm actually surprised by this.
Your thing's droids.
Always been droids.
It's
just, so.
It's really weird. Because you really don't think of droids as in a... really have much emotion. But in Star Wars, you can really have a lot of that with BB-8 and Chopper being so... sarcastic and sassy and just all of that.
Well, yeah, and even C-3PO, K-2SO,
yeah.
L-3, all of the droids.
AP-5,
yeah, which is a huge character that we love in Star Wars Rebels, voiced by Steven Stanton here as I wear my Griff Halloran Star Wars Resistance.
That he sent to us.
That he sent to us after he was on our 50th episode of our podcast, so go back and find that. So,
But I just find him to be a cool character, always have, and always been my favorite, so.
That's very cool. What about, and oh, so I got to ask you, the droids in distress episode, I think it's the second episode or third episode of the entire thing with C-3PO and R2-D2 and all that kind of stuff. What was your opinion about Star Wars Rebels droids in distress?
That one was funny, seeing, because R2-D2 and Chopper are like almost twins how they act. It's just like, I found that to be a very weird relationship between them. And C-3PO is all like, well, we're on a mission with the Empire, because he was brainwashed, but R2-D2 wasn't. And so, like, C-3PO is all like this, and R2-D2 is like, well, I can't tell him that we're on a rebel mission. I just found that episode to be really funny, and I liked it. So
I want BB-8 to meet Chopper, because BB-8's all this pure, innocent little droid,
right.
And then Chopper's this grumpy...
So I guess the question that we have to ask ourselves is, Chopper still around by the time we get to BB-8?
Yeah, I think so.
You think he survived?
I mean,
that
Bucket part? Is still around.
Bucket's around, R2's around, so why not?
Yeah, I would love to see that. That would be fun.
I would love to see if...
Like, I bet BB-8 would be, like, shocked.
What did you think about the fact when we found out at the end of the series that Dave Filoni was the guy that actually voiced Chopper throughout the series?
I was a little bit, like, surprised. I'm like, how can a human voice a robot that just makes grumbling noises? Like, I was like, it doesn't really make much sense to me, but I'm like, kudos to him.
That's cool. All right, Samuel Ladd, who's your favorite character in Star Wars Rebels?
Thrawn, easily.
Thrawn?! He's not even a major character. I
so?
Mean, he's only in, like, the last couple seasons.
So?
Okay. Was he in season 3? He was in season 3.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's when he was
right.
Reintroduced.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, that's right. So why is Thrawn your favorite character in Rebels? Because you love the novels. The Thrawn novels.
Right.
Which hopefully they release an early one.
Yeah, that would be awesome. But anyway, explain to the viewers why you love Thrawn so much in this series.
Well, just because he's I've heard him often described as like the Sherlock Holmes of Star Wars, if Sherlock Holmes was a bad guy, I guess.
Moriarty.
Yeah, I guess like the Moriarty. I love the character. He's different than anything we had seen in Star Wars previously. I mean, sort of Tarkin. Like, Tarkin was sort of like that, but not to the extent of Thrawn. And he was just a cool, sophisticated, interesting character. That's what I thought, so... I just latched on to his character, and yeah, now I love the novels and the comic adaptions and all that. So yeah, I just...
So now, have you checked out any of the Heir to the Empire, any of the Legends Thrawn stuff?
No, I don't really get into old, like, Legends stuff.
What
I just don't. Like, the only thing I've got
from the library, if you want to read them, though.
Well, I don't. I mean, I've got the new stuff for Thrawn, so that's enough for me. I mean, the only, like, Legends thing that I get into is The Force Unleashed, and that's because we
played
it a long
time. I've heard the novels
are
really good.
Hmm.
Like, better than the game.
Okay.
So.
But, I mean, what I was trying to say is, I just don't get into stuff that's not officially canon. I try to stick with the canon stuff because I know it has a impact on the overarching story or whatever,
cool.
So.
I can agree with that.
Cool. Well, my favorite character in Rebels is without a doubt Kanan.
Yeah,
you
no,
guys,
surprise
are no surprise.
No,
I
no,
love
no.
Kanan. I absolutely, you know, I'm going to go ahead and just say it right now. Freddie Prinze Jr., please, dude, give us a chance to interview you and talk about this character at Star Wars Celebration. We would absolutely be honored. We'll treat it respectfully. We'll treat your time respectfully. But Kanan is awesome. I love the reluctant leader, the guy that's afraid to be a to admit that he's a Jedi at the beginning of the series. I'm going back to A New Dawn, the novelization that's a prequel novel to Star Wars Rebels. He's hiding from the Empire. He's hiding that he's a Jedi. He hasn't told Hera. He doesn't tell Hera that he's a Jedi. He's keeping it all secret and trying everything possible to avoid anybody finding out about it. And that's who he is in the start of this. And yet he sort of takes on this mentor role for Ezra, and he moves forward in these four seasons. He learns how to be
a master.
He learns how to be a Jedi master.
Yeah.
You know, we were just talking the other night when we were recording the previous episode of the YouTube show about that moment in the hallway with the Inquisitor, the first time he confronts the Inquisitor, and he's like, he sees Ezra about to be killed, and he uses the Force in a way that's just unbelievable. This is who he is, all the way up to that final episode, Doom, at Jedi Knight, all of that. When he uses the Force to stop that explosion, to contain the explosion, so that Hera and Sabine and Zeb and Chopper and Ezra can escape, Rex, all of them can escape. I love the character arc of Kanan. I think he's one of the best Star Wars characters around. That's why when we talked about Jedi Knight Fallen Order, the game, or Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. That's what it is. Star Wars Jedi Fallen Order. I would love to see that be Caleb Doom becoming Kanan Jarrus in it, because I love that story.
I think that Hera does know he's a Jedi.
Well, no, she does. Okay. She does know. But he's hiding it from her in the novel with that. He's keeping it secret. But you guys should definitely read that novel. So that's who my favorite character is. What do you think about like Ezra and Sabine and Zeb and the rest of the crew?
They're fine.
They're interesting. I obviously like the characters. They're part of the series. Sabine, I think she of all the characters has the least amount of development and growth. I mean, she is there. She becomes temporarily the ruler of Mandalore. I mean, she's got some growth. It's interesting. It was in startup season four.
Yeah, it was being
where she was starting to.
Where she was the leader of Mandalore.
Yeah, that was interesting. Zeb, you know, he became the leader of the Lasats. So that was pretty. That was neat. Hera, she became a general in the rebellion, right? So that's cool. But Ezra, I think he has the most growth.
Well,
outside
he's the main
of
character,
right?
Absolutely.
And you know, so much so where he was reluctant to help anyone, and then at the end of the series, spoiler alert, he sacrifices himself to save Lothal, which, you know, it was, I love, outside of Thrawn, Ezra's my favorite character.
That's awesome.
So.
You must go now.
I led him to you. Let me make it right.
That is not your responsibility. I will mend this old wound. Ride north. That is your way out. Your way home.
See you soon, apprentice. Look what has become of you. A rat in the desert.
Look what I have risen above.
I have come to kill you, but perhaps it's worse to leave you here, festering in your squalor.
If you define yourself by your power to take life, the desire to dominate, to possess, then you have nothing.
And what do you have? Why come to this place? Not simply to hide. Oh, you have a purpose here. Perhaps you are protecting something. No, protecting someone.
Mm-hmm.
Is it the Chosen One?
He is.
He will avenge us.
This one's going to be easy. Anybody that knows Tatooine Sons, has listened to our podcast, has watched our videos, they know without a doubt that our favorite episode is
Twin Sons.
Yeah. Without a doubt. Let's go. I don't want to like lead the conversation on this. So I'm going to ask BB Nate, why don't you explain why to you Twin Sons is your favorite episode?
Well, it's not as like intense as any of the other episodes, but it has a lot of stuff packed in it. Like, you see Obi-Wan, you see Maul.
No, he's the same person.
Yeah.
Maul finding him, and you see Ezra there, and there's just so much that happens in that one episode, and I just found it.
And really, most of it happens in the last 5 minutes.
Yeah, right?
I mean, and there's just so much packed into those last 5 minutes, yeah.
It's interesting too. It is an episode that gives itself space to sort of set things up.
Mm.
It was a controversial episode when it came out because everyone expected sort of a Phantom Menace level duel between Kenobi and Maul. They were all anticipating it, and we see something very different. It's
very different.
You know, it's Maul tries 3 strikes, and the next thing you know, he's out. With it and it moves on. But you see so much of the development of those two characters in the way that battle takes out. You have Kenobi, who has truly become the Jedi Master. I mean, if at this point he's like, if the Council was still around, he's on par with Yoda at this point,
totally.
As far as his master level abilities and the way he's grown. During his exile on Tatooine, you see a Maul that has done nothing but become more and more insane, more and more hateful, more and more vengeful. Their paths have gone so they've paralleled each other in some ways, as they both, you know, their lives and their stories have intertwined so much from Phantom Menace all the way to Twin Sons. But the development has happened with Kenobi. And Maul hasn't. And when Maul, or Kenobi, is literally sitting there on the sands after striking the death blow against Maul and cradling Maul in his arms in the exact same way that he cradled Qui-Gon Jinn in The Phantom Menace after Maul kills Qui-Gon Jinn.
Jeez.
You know, I mean, it's a beautiful episode. But it's not just that. It's the ending of it. You get to hear Aunt Beru calling Luke. You see Luke going across the sands of Tatooine and the reality of, my gosh, we are that close to A New Hope in this moment. That's one of that's the reason I love this episode. What about you?
I think you both kind of
I bloviated a little bit there. I apologize.
I think it's my favorite because it's the conclusion of the Kenobi Maul story. You know, I mean, they had been through so much together through the Clone War, through, you know, Phantom Menace and the Clone Wars till now. And just to see the final interaction, it was really, really interesting to watch. And then you talked about how they progressed. One of the things that I didn't pick up on at first, but, you know, the thousands of fans who analyzed every frame of the fight did.
Which only took like 4 minutes.
Right.
You know.
But, you know, you see they're standing there on the sands, you know, Maul's in this stance. And then you see Kenobi do his lightsaber stance from the prequels, you know,
from Revenge of the Sith and stuff like
that. Yeah,
where he
puts the
two fingers out
and
he's holding the sword or the lightsaber over his head.
Right. And then
yeah.
He's transfers to
old Obi-Wan stance, which was
from A New Hope.
Right, yeah. Right. And then he transfers to Qui-Gon from Phantom Menace.
Classic.
And what he's doing, which is just shows how much he progressed over Maul, is he was literally baiting Maul into doing the same thing that he did to Qui-Gon. So he was able to, I mean, Maul totally took the bait and did the exact same thing he did to Qui-Gon. Kenobi was ready for it, and just three strikes.
Absolutely.
And it was over. And that's why a lot of fans were like, well, what the heck? But when you think about it, that's how it should be. Maul hadn't progressed. He was the same as he was in The Phantom Menace.
Uses the same technique.
The exact same technique. But Kenobi was less using his strength and more of his mind and wisdom, which is how a Jedi Master should be. You know, they shouldn't rely on their strength, but their previous experience and their wisdom, which I thought was really cool.
So I guess the question then is, do you think that when Kenobi is changing those positions before Maul attacks, do you think he's processing what to do? Like, is he playing chess in that?
Yeah,
way?
Oh, yeah.
He's like, okay, if I stand in this is what he's going to do. He's going to come at me this way. And then if I move to this is how he's going to come at me. And then it clicks. I already know every move he's going to do if I go to Qui-Gon's position.
Yeah.
And so he goes to that position, basically dares him to come at him with the exact same attack and just wipes him out in a split second.
Yeah, it's totally a game of chess.
Awesome.
I love that.
Twin Sons, our favorite episode. And if you want us to hear us talk a little bit more about this episode, go back to the 50th episode of our podcast on all the podcast services, episode 50. It came out on December 1st of 2018. We had Stephen Stanton, who actually played Ben Kenobi in Twin Sons, on that episode. He's on there for like 45 minutes. We talk about a lot of Star Wars, but we primarily talk about this episode.
Looks like you lose, Thrawn.
A momentary setback.
We'll see.
Sir, several unidentified objects have just entered orbit.
My blockade will intercept them.
They've destroyed the blockade. Our ships are just gone.
Get Captain Pallion.
Sir, they came out of hyperspace! I've never seen them!
Admiral, we have incoming!
Take a look.
Would you believe me if I told you this was Ezra's plan?
No, but this has Bridger written all over it.
Yeah, that's why it's going to work.
Idea.
Ezra, can you hear me? The purple, is it you?
Yeah. Pretty good, huh?
Well, you could have told the rest of us.
I wanted it to be a surprise.
Thank you.
They're about to jump into hyperspace! Ezra! Ezra, get out of there right now! That's an order!
Hera? I have to see this through to the end.
Ezra, please! Get out of there!
I can't do that. It's up to all of you now. And remember, the Force will be with you. Always.
All right, so we talked favorite characters, we talked favorite episode, which was easy for us. Yeah. What's your favorite storyline from all four seasons of Star Wars Rebels? I'll have you go first, BB Nate.
Well, not to sound snarky, but the last arc, the final finale.
The very last episode itself?
The last two episodes.
Okay, so the World Between Worlds episodes and then the finale episode.
Of course it is. It's just, I mean, I was like, not on the edge of tears, but it was close.
It was emotional. Yeah.
It was.
Especially because Rebels has such a dear place in our hearts. So, I'd have to actually agree with you there. The finale arc and those episodes are definitely my favorite. Just because it brought it all together. As one thing that really hit me in those final episodes is how all of Ezra's friends and people he'd interacted with at the end came to help him, you know, Hondo, Visago, all the people who you thought were, you know, these traitors who wouldn't help anyone but themselves, were there to help Ezra and the Rebels in their, not final hour, but, you know, the time they needed them the most. And that's what really hit me, was the seeing all the previous characters from...
It's a curtain call in a lot of ways.
Yeah, in a way, it was
that battle there with the wolves and the Imperial troops coming out.
That was intense.
And all that kind of stuff. The character, I can't remember the name of the character. He's in the earlier episodes. That looks like he's betraying
Visago.
No, was that Visago? No,
yeah.
No.
The guy with the horns? Horns?
No. I'm talking about the guy with the white beard.
Oh.
Oh,
I know exactly who you're talking about. I can see.
I'm trying to look it up right now. I couldn't tell you.
So anyway, it looks like he's betraying them, and he's actually setting up the Empire with it. You get this confrontation between Ezra and the Emperor, Darth Sidious,
in this episode.
It all comes together. It's like sort of your dream scenario. When you're watching a series of episodes. So it was A Fool's Hope and Reunion and Farewell.
Is that your favorite arc?
No. I can't say that. I mean, I struggle. I really, really enjoyed the World Between Worlds episodes, the Mortis stuff that got brought in, because Mortis is my favorite arc from the Clone Wars. So bringing that in towards the end of season four, was really awesome. It was amazing. I can't help but when I think of Star Wars Rebels, I think of everything to do with Maul in this because of his relationship with Ezra and how he's tempting Ezra to go to the dark side. At the end of season three, you think, man, that could be where they're going with this storyline. Ezra, that's how Ezra's not a Jedi during the original trilogy period, because he's going to go bad. He's going to go dark.
It seemed like
With it, because it looked like Maul was pulling him towards that side. So I was concerned about that. I love the Maul stuff. Twilight of the Apprentice, end of season two, the last few episodes of season two, that whole series of episodes. You've got Ahsoka confronting Vader. You've got all of this stuff going on. Without a doubt.
It's tough to beat that.
It absolutely is. You can't beat Vader battling Ahsoka.
Yeah, it's true.
You have unlocked the secret of the temple. How did you accomplish this?
You're smart. Figure it out.
No matter. The power within will soon serve the Emperor.
I don't fear you.
Then you will die braver than most. Perhaps I was wrong.
It wouldn't be the first time.
It was foretold that you would be here. Our long-awaited meeting has come at last.
I'm glad I gave you something to look forward to.
We need not be adversaries. The Emperor will show you mercy if you tell me where the remaining Jedi can be found.
There are no Jedi. You and your Inquisitors have seen to that.
Perhaps this child will confess what you will not.
I was beginning to believe I knew who you were behind that mask. But it's impossible. My master could never be as vile as you.
Anakin Skywalker was weak. I destroyed him.
Then I will avenge his death.
Revenge is not the Jedi way.
I am no Jedi. Not this time.
Then you will die.
Ahsoka! No! Oh! Ahsoka!
All right, We've talked characters, we've talked episodes, we've talked storylines. We didn't even talk about like Bendu as far as the storyline. He was amazing.
Yeah.
There's so many, the Mandalorian stuff with Sabine.
Oh, yeah.
There's so many storylines that I keep coming to my mind. But favorite season. It should be quick and simple.
Oh,
1, 2, 3, or 4. Go Samuel ahead. You go first.
3.
Why?
First see Thrawn, and then always the highlights for me are the finales. But the finale where it seems like the Empire is pretty much won, and the part where he sees the Bendu and Thrawn's right face to face with the Bendu, and he's gonna kill the Bendu, and then he vanishes, and he gives them that the prophecy or whatever of his doom or whatever. I mean, season 3 is my favorite just because of Thrawn, pretty much. But
that's cool.
So yeah.
What about you, BBG?
Oh, it definitely has to be season 4.
Really?
I just loved everything of that season. I got to see the first episode early.
Get to see the first episode.
Yeah, that was the Mandalorian.
Yeah.
So we'll get to be able to see the first episode of season 2 of Resistance, hopefully.
Hopefully.
But I just found it to be an all-around... Dave Filoni used all the skills from the first, second, and third season and just put them all into 4 to wrap it up just so beautifully.
That's a really good point, because the beautiful thing about what happened with Rebels was there was all these... episodes, we've talked about this on the show before, all these episodes and stories that seem like they're just thrown in, that have that have no bearing on the story, that actually come to bear
in
season
about
4.
In, my favorite arc.
Exactly. They all come together at the end.
With
the Purgles, Thrawn, the Bendu, all this stuff starts. The Lothwolves. All of this comes. Man, there's so much. I just want to go back and watch a bunch of the Star Wars Rebels, but... can't do that because we have lives, but
unfortunately,
that's pretty much a pretty good episode. I try to decide. I mean, one was from my perspective the weakest of the seasons,
also the first,
but it's always the weakest of the seasons. It was that way with Clone Wars, it was that way with Resistance, it's getting to the point where it's starting to ramp up, just like, you get to the end of season 1 of Star Wars Rebels and you've got the Inquisitor, you find out he's a former Jedi Master, or Jedi Knight, he was a former Temple Guard, he gets killed, all this kind of stuff that goes on. I struggle. There's so many things. I'm going to go back to season 2.
That's fair.
Because you introduce Ahsoka back to the storyline, she's Fulcrum.
Mm-hmm.
She's there. She's like mentoring Kanan as Kanan mentors Ezra. You get to the end of that, to the Twilight of the Apprentice. You bring in Maul at the end of the season 2. You deal with, oh my gosh, it was like all of it's coming back right now. I mean, you get the Maul, the Ahsoka, the Vader stuff. Ezra or Kanan gets blinded at the end of season 2, and you have to start dealing with that in season 3. And it's just, It's pretty
I totally I agree. Yeah.
You agree? So you like season
2? No, I like it, but it's not my favorite, but I see where you're coming.
I thought it changed his mind.
No.
So.
The attack we all anticipated never came. The once invincible Empire had begun to fracture. The small rebellion had become bold. And with a decisive victory at the Battle of Endor, the Emperor's reign of terror came to an end. After the war, Zeb took Kallus along the secret hyperspace path to the planet Lirasan. It was then that Kallus realized he hadn't destroyed the Lasat people, and that they were thriving on this new world. A world where he was welcome as one of them. Hera fought in the Battle of Endor, as did Commander Rex. By that time, there had been a new member added to the crew of the Ghost. Spectre 7, Jason Syndulla. Born to fly, just like his mother. And well, we all know what his father was like. As for me, I used to think that Ezra was counting on me to protect Lothal, the planet and the people he cared for so much. But one day, I realized there was more to it. There was something else I was meant to do. Ezra's out there somewhere, and it's time to bring him home.
Pretty much talked about everything that we could on a 30-minute podcast and YouTube show. So anything that we could have talked about or you wish we would have talked more about that we didn't have time to, you go first, Sam.
The World Between Worlds.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. There's a lot there.
This one's hard. I'd have to agree with Sam. The World Between Worlds. That is just such a heavy episode in everything, and
it changes how you see
Star Wars. It really does, because somebody could go in there at any point and change up the whole timeline.
Oh yeah,
I would love to have been able to talk more about the clones coming back.
Yeah,
Rex and some of these other clones, and their like hesitation, and the Kanan's lack of trust of them because of Order 66, and how they become so integrated into the Ghost family, mm-hmm. The Rebels family as part of this, to where now we know that Rex was at the Battle of Endor. So,
that was cool.
And then of course we've got the ending, the epilogue that happens when you're back on Lothal and Kanan's gone. He's dead. Ezra and Thrawn got sucked by the Purgles into the unknown regions, and that's all we know. And you see Sabine standing there. It's post-Battle of Endor. I think it's even post-Jakku, from what I understand.
Really?
You've got Hera. She's got a kid. Jason Syndulla, mm-hmm. which was... that was where nobody saw that one coming.
Nope.
You've got Zeb had been battling, you know, to protect Lothal. Zeb and Kanan, or Kallus, Agent Kallus, are like have a bromance going.
Yeah.
And of course, Ahsoka Tano shows up to take Sabine and go try to find Ezra.
Ooh.
Where do you think the crew is that these people are right now?
I think Zeb is going to go back to Lasan and help govern and
rebuild his species.
The Lasats.
Okay.
I think Kallus will just kind of hang out with him for part of it, go help with the New Republic and the Rebel. Well, not the Rebels. There's no Rebels anymore.
The New Republic, yeah.
Yeah, so I think he'll be a part of that. Hera, obviously, she's going to be a part of the New Republic because she was part of the Rebellion. Sabine and Ahsoka, obviously they're going to look for Ezra, so I want a book series on that. That would be a really fun book series.
Cool. What about you, BBD? What do you think is going on with these characters?
Well, I think I disagree with Sam. I think the Zeb and Kallus thing is on point. I think that Hera is on the fall with Jason and trying to raise him and all that stuff. I don't think that she would try to go help the New Republic and then try to raise his son with it. I think she's done.
Do you think she goes back to where the Twi'leks from the planet? Why am I having a hard time remembering this? Anyway.
Is it Felicia?
I think so.
I think it's Felicia. Go back to her planet?
I think that Ezra and Thrawn are, you know, I'm going to far-fetch it, you know. Batu, that would be great.
Well, Batu is in the unknown regions.
It's on the, it's almost
and
wild space.
And Thrawn knows how to get there.
That's true. And they've been setting that one up with that.
Uh-oh.
You think they show up in episode 9?
Oh, I don't.
Not a chance.
No.
If they're bringing Commander Pyre in,
Oh, that's you'll have to save that information for our regular podcast that comes out on, next week. Thank you guys so much for walking down memory lane with us on Star Wars Rebels as we celebrate this amazing TV series and Star Wars animation and storylines and characters and something that had such an impact on the Star Wars universe. And we had no idea that we were going to see that. So awesome. Thank you guys so much. Please subscribe to us here on YouTube. Get to get notifications when we have a new video comes out. These Star Wars Rebels videos come out every Thursday. So you can get them there or you can get them as a podcast on iTunes as well. We have a regular podcast that comes out on Mondays. If you want to get them early, either our weekly podcast or this episode or any of our YouTube shows, you can get that on Patreon if you... become a dollar a month supporter. So check us out at patreon.com/tattooandsons. We're all over social media, YouTube, of course, you know that because you're on YouTube. Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, all that. Check us out at Tatooine Sons. You can find us. If you're going to be at Star Wars Celebration, let's get together and geek out about Star Wars Rebels. That's pretty much all I have to say. You guys, anything else you guys want to say?
May the Force be with you.
May the Force be with you.